Hey, Michigan Maniacs. This is the Michigan Football Rant, and I am your host, Adam Brewer. Before we get into this episode, I just want to go over a little housekeeping. All right, guys. Right now, you'll find me on Instagram and Facebook. I'm also going to be way more active now on YouTube. I've been hinting at some things, and I'm finally narrowed it down to what I want to do. So I want to break it down to you right now. On YouTube. I will be downloading all reaction episodes from here on out. You guys seem to be loving every reaction episode I put out, and every quick hitter episode I put out are off the charts, both of them. So I will start with reaction episodes, and I will probably start putting quick hitters on there as well. Fantastic. The response you guys have been giving me lately is off the charts, and I just want you guys to know I really, really appreciate your support. So with that, go to YouTube and like and subscribe, and also go to Spotify and leave a star review. Hopefully it's a 5-star review. Follow there as well, and hit me up on the DM, and I will send you new stickers. And I have wrist bracelets, the ones that old Lance Armstrong used to have, but they are blue with the Michigan Maniac on it. And let's face it, this is the football rant, but we are all Michigan Maniacs. I will do that for free. You just got to hit me up, let me know where I need to send them, and I will do it for just simply thanking you for supporting me. Also, if you go to Spotify in the bio, you can hit the voicemail. Voicemail Mondays is going to be a thing. Please leave your voicemail, and I will create a whole episode around whatever voicemails I get. If I don't get any voicemails, it'll continue just to be ask me anything. Either way, I'm hoping that you guys get involved. I want to be more retro. I want to be more active with you guys. Okay. Also, you go to the bio in Spotify, and you can support this podcast for a mere $4.99 a month. I think there's three options: 99 cents, 4.99, and 9.99. Either one, I really don't care. Either one you want, you go ahead and support this podcast, and it will allow me to buy shirts, hats, and all the other stickers and bracelets that I can pay for. That's all I want to do is just give back to the Maniac Society that has been so good to me. So I appreciate you guys. Go through all this. If you can, let me know, and I will give back to you as much as I possibly can. Thank you so much for being the greatest audience ever. I mean, you guys have been fantastic. To me, you will always be the silent majority. There's a few of you I hear from constantly, but the numbers have just been increasing, and it is fantastic. It is getting to the point, it's getting to the point where we are almost pre-COVID numbers, and that's exciting. And I have only you to thank. So thank you very much, guys. Once again, go to YouTube, go to Spotify, like and subscribe on both, leave a review on both. Hit me up on the DMs, and I will send you new stickers and new rubber bracelets. You go and support me on the bio in Spotify. Pick any one of the three that is offered, and I will also send you a hat. Once the new hats come out, I want you to pick which one, and I will send them out. I just want to make you guys happy. That's all I want to do. So I hope we can just crush it. And I hope you love this week's episode. Hey, welcome to the reaction episode, Rutgers. Let's get into this, huh? What an interesting start to a game. Wow. I the only thing I can think of is the reason why we started off it Rutgers. This is one of the main reasons why I really start to hate Rutgers is because they have zero talent, but they truly, truly believe that they're going to hit their way to a win. Like, you would think Scott Frost would be the perfect coach for this team. Zero talent, but really believes If you hit hard enough, you can win the game. And I think that's just what Rutgers is. I mean, literally, no game plan. Their defense, however, I give their defense plenty of credit. Hard hitting, and they actually do something. I gotta give them a little bit of credit, right? But I'm telling you, I think it was just a hangover from that Michigan State game. There's just no other real reason behind. There's no other excuse, right? Because we've seen it before. And that's why it had to be the Michigan State hangover, was because we saw it in when they played Indiana, right? When Mike Hart went down, that's the same offense we saw out there on, or just not even the same offense, same team. That's the same team we saw from the time Mike Hart went down to halftime against Indiana. And then they came out and had the best third quarter I think I've ever seen a Michigan team have, maybe ever. I mean, I'm sure there's been other great third quarters. We'll say it's the greatest third quarter I have seen in recent history. Defensively, that was unbelievable. Just so fantastic. Our defense just continues to get better and better each week. Unbelievable. Jesse Minter, write it down, submit it. Whatever we got, this is the greatest defensive coordinator in the Jim Harbaugh era. Goodbye, Don Brown. See, this is what it's really shocking what our defense with our talent level can actually do with somebody who is willing to make adjustments. Unlike Don Brown, who would just be like, well, we're just going to yell at it. We're going to yell louder and be more aggressive. Going to do the same thing, but we're just going to be loud about it. We're going to do the same freaking game plan, but just louder and more angry, and that will carry us to victory. God bless him. I love Don Brown, but his defensive approach was horseshit. Just amazing. I mean, Jesse Mentor, just I can't sing his praises enough. I mean, they are 103 in the second halves against the last four opponents. Last four opponents. Unbelievable. 103. So that means you better get in your punches in the first half. And if you can't knock Michigan out in the first half, you're screwed. You're screwed because Jesse Minter is going to figure out what you're doing and he's going to stop it. It's done. It's over. They're going to figure out and then just turn the switch on and it's done. Good luck. Thank you for trying. You had the first half. We give you the first half to make all the adjustments you need to make yourself look cool. And now it's done. 103 in the last four games in the second half. The second half adjustments by this defensive coordinator. Sorry about that. It's off the charts. I don't even know. I mean, obviously the red zone offense still stinks. I'm glad we still score. I mean, stinks as in the fact that we have to kick field goals. And we didn't do that this time. I know, we didn't do it this time, but still, nine plays to get two touchdowns in the 2 yard line from the 2 yard line in, right? Not great. But at least we're trying. I'll give them that. At least it was a focus. So the first game, it's just like when you haven't started a car all season long, like the passing game. And the red zone matched in there. You know, the red zone passing game and the red zone and just our passing game in general is this vehicle. And you haven't really started it in months, right? You look at it, you're like, nah, it looks over. It looks pretty, but I don't really want to drive it yet. Nah, I'm not going to drive it. Months go by. I'm not going to drive it. And then you finally decide you're going to drive it. If that thing starts, it's not going to run well. Right at the beginning, you're gonna have to lube it up. You're gonna have to get it moving. You gotta get everything going back. You know, knock the rust off the damn thing because you haven't used it in months. Same thing with this passing game. It looked bad in the first half, but I would say because of what we did in the first half, as bad as it did look, it helped in the second half loosen up that defense because it told the defense. It told Rutgers, we are going to pass this ball. So do what you will with that information, but we're going to do it. So now Rutgers can't say, okay, well, now we're just going to load the box and force them to pass. Now we have to deal with it because they had some success. We're only up 17-14 going into half, solely based off of special team snafus on Michigan's part, the only reason why we have the lead. So now we've got to start taking this pass game a little bit serious, and then that opened up the run in the second half, then that opened up the pass, and boom, there you go. We score 52 points. Now, granted, defense, see, this is why. This is, I don't feel like I'm all over the place, but I'm telling you, I'm just excited. I guess I'm just excited to see us finally do something with this passing game, even though it looked rough. It looked rough, but it's going to look rough before it looks great. And I'd much rather it look rough against Rutgers than Ohio State, right? Because we got Nebraska next week. We're going to hopefully the same game plan, open up passing the ball, right? Because we already know the run. Yeah, God bless anybody who tries to stop the run against us. It's going to be rough for them, rough sledding. So now we can start opening up the passing game. I'm sure we'll have another rough start next week against Nebraska with that passing game, you know, but it's not going to be as rough. And then against Illinois, that garbage team, we'll end up passing on them as well. And then hopefully by the time we get to Ohio State, we will be an actual well-rounded offense. That's what you're hoping for, because the Ohio State game is the beginning of the playoffs, in my opinion. Up until a couple weeks ago, I was thinking to myself that the beginning of the playoffs starts with Illinois, right? It starts with Illinois as kind of a warm-up to Ohio State. Ohio State is first-round playoff to the Big Ten title. Then the Big Ten title is the next level up. Then we go to the playoff, and then, you know, except you know how this works. So, but with how ugly Illinois, I told you guys, I should be way more popular as a podcast. I really should. I mean, we're climbing the numbers, by the way, thank you so much. The numbers are climbing each and every week. I was just going over the numbers. I know this is a sidetrack, but still, I want to give you guys some credit. We're going over the numbers, and holy moly, I'm up quite a bit from last year this time. The numbers are steadily, each and every week, so amazing. Love it. Love you guys. Thank you so much. But, I mean, it does shock me that I'm not, like, one of the top podcasts in the country when it comes to this Michigan team. Because I told you, Illinois stinks. They suck out loud. They're not good. I told you, they're 2018 Michigan. Just not even that. They're like knockoff 2018 Michigan. They're not even as good as our weakest tough guy teams. You know what I mean? Like, they fold. Just like Michigan would fold against Wisconsin, and they would lose to Michigan State, and they would do these things. They would get punched in the mouth, and they'd quit. That's what Illinois did last. They did not look good. They got beat. Their two losses. Illinois' two losses are to mid-pack Big Ten East teams, not even the elite Big Ten East teams, Michigan, Ohio, Penn State. Mid-pack. And people were touting this team as, oh, we got to worry about Illinois. Illinois makes me nervous. Why? Why do they ever make you nervous? Because they're beating up on lame teams? I mean, for God's sakes, the Big Ten West is so bad. Iowa is still in the running to win the division. Iowa. Think about that. Iowa, who can't, I mean, Iowa's offense is so bad. They scored 24 points against Purdue. The only time Iowa ever looks good is when they beat up on Big Ten West teams. They can score 24 points against Big West, a Big West. They should be in the Big West. The Big Ten West teams. That's the only time Iowa ever looks good. Ever. And they're still in the running to win that fucking division. That's how bad
the Big Ten West is. And that's how insulting it is that the Big Ten will not get rid of these divisions and just go to what I think the Big Ten, I mean, the Big 12 has been doing it for a while. And I also think that the Pac-12 is doing it now. I think it's the Pac-12. I could be wrong on that. But I think they've got rid of the divisions and they're just going with that everybody plays each other type thing. The two best teams go to their championship. It's insulting. It's insulting to the Penn States of the world. It's definitely insulting to Michigan and Ohio that we have to go to the Big Ten title game and play losers. Now, granted, I guess it makes it easier for us to get into the playoff. Fine. But it's insulting in general to the teams. Like, I mean, seriously, for Michigan, let's just go back and look. I know I say it all the time, and it's probably me beating a dead horse and beating the drum you don't want to hear. But in Jim Harbaugh's era, right, we would have made it in 2005. No, would we have made it in 2005? I think Michigan State made it to the playoff that year. So let's X out. Well, no, we still probably could have made it. Who knows? I don't have the numbers in front of me, but 2016 would have been Big Ten title game if we were in this, you know, without divisions. 2017, probably not. 2018, yes. 2019, yes. 2020, that was the cleansing, so it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? We would have been to at least three Big Ten title games before 2021 if we would have gone with no divisions. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. It really is. It's embarrassing that the Big Ten West is such a shit show. It really is. It's embarrassing. They should all be ashamed of themselves. And we should all be ashamed that we even took Illinois serious for more than 3 weeks. Now listen, Michigan doesn't show up, they'll lose. We're not that great yet. We're not Georgia yet. Not that I still think we can beat Georgia, but anyways, let's get back to Rutgers. I'm sorry for that little tangent. But yeah, Rutgers gave us a nice little half because of what we did. We shoot ourselves in the foot, so it makes Rutgers look decent. We come out in the second half, make amazing adjustments, and just blow them out of the water. I think it was, what, 30, 38 to nothing in the second half? And I think Rutgers had 35 total yards, or maybe it was 53 total yards. I don't know, but it was something so ridiculously bad. It's just amazing. It is really wonderful to see that this Michigan team is just putting it on teams when they need to. This defense, I can't say enough good things about this defense. Chris Jenkins looking amazing. I mean, he may not have made a lot of plays in this game, but when that quarterback rolled out and was trying to, I don't, the pocket broke down. It was, I don't know, third quarter maybe. And he's rolling out to look for someone, but being a freshman, he's rolling the opposite way of where his routes are going. So it was dead in the water anyways. But Chris Jenkins was keeping up with that kid and was the main reason why that kid had to run out of bounds. I mean, Chris Jenkins is a beast. Mozzie Smith having a great year. Mason Graham, oh my God. We have the best defensive line in the Big Ten, and maybe the second or third best defensive line in the country. Our linebackers showed up today. God bless you, Michael Barrett, for making up for that missed block on the punt. Then just being able to, wow, look great. It was, I'm gushing. I know there's not a lot of facts that are going to come out of this podcast, to be quite honest with you today, but it was just so wonderful. Time of possession, once again, on our side. I want to speak on time of possession, actually. I've heard people say that it's an antiquated thing, right? That no one really cares about time of possession anymore because of how offenses have become so pass heavy, so, you know, fast break basketball type, right? And that time of possession doesn't matter. Well, I want to push back a little bit on that, okay? Because when you win time of possession and you dominate it, say, like, example, when we dominated Michigan State in the time of possession game, I think we had like 40 minutes or something like that. It creates, one, it devastates their defense because it makes them tired. It wears them down, and it just makes it easier for you to chip away and get those 6-7 yards at a pop, right? Those, that's obvious. But what it does also that I don't think enough people talk about, it creates this thing that I like to say is the pressure of efficiency, right? And that's for the offense, the opposing offense, because that offense now has fewer time on the field. So every play for them has to count, right? You're forcing the team, the offense of the rival team, to be more efficient with every snap of the ball. So every incompletion, every run that goes for a yard is cutting, essentially adding to Michigan's win, adding to the momentum of Michigan's win, or helping us win the game. Because if they cannot be efficient with the limited amount of downs you get, almost, I mean, I don't know what the ratios are, but I would assume the percentages of the team who wins that time of possession game goes up, what, 30, 40 points, something like that, in the overall, or percentages over the whole life of a game. Because if you're not going to be efficient with the few snaps you have, then you're screwed. Your defense is screwed, because then you're putting them right back out on the field, and you know you're not getting the ball back anytime soon. So if Michigan can now just get better in the red zone and keep that time of possession up, Michigan becomes almost unbeatable, because now we own the time of possession. Each drive is 7-8 minute drives, and it ends with a touchdown instead of a field goal. So that makes the pressure of efficiency go up higher on the other team. When we keep the ball 8 minutes, score a touchdown, now you have to make that pass. You have to go for it on fourth, because if you're not being efficient, you have to be able to get some points, because you know your chances are so minute and so limited. And that's what's so impressive about a time of possession team. But the only way that happens is if we score touchdowns instead of field goals. Because even then, like a team, say Ohio State's very good with the pressure of efficiency, even if we have the ball that much, because they can score quickly in bunches, bang, bang, bang. So that's why we have to score touchdowns on keeping the ball as long as we do, right? But still, C.J. Stroud is not one that is looking down evil and not blinking. Like, this kid gets nervous. And when the pressure of efficiency is on top of him, I don't know if he's going to make the right decisions. Now, he can do that against the Penn States of the world. And even Penn State had him flustered. You know, you can do that against the Northwesterns of the world, right? You can do that, because it's not real pressure. Same thing with Ryan Day. I'm going to do like a little quick hitter episode coming up about the pressure that is going to be on Ohio State to win the game, not on us. We are playing with house money at this point, if you ask me, because if Ryan Day doesn't win this game coming up against us, they're going to want to string him they're going to want to chase him down and beat him where he sleeps. Because you go 0-2 against Harbaugh after the Don Brown years, it shows that it wasn't you who were the great coach. It was that you knew Don Brown. And from what I heard, I think it's not like I have some insider information, but I was listening to, I think it was Isaiah Hull on Locked In, or Locked In Wolverines, or whatever it's called. They said in 2018, they were having arguments, or it was brought to the attention of Don Brown that they knew, Ohio State knew what he was doing, and he didn't fucking care. So if he goes 0-2 against Michigan, the 2 years outside of Don Brown, Ryan Day's whole career is over. It's over. Because he proves that he couldn't beat Ohio's greatest rival unless he had an ace in the hole, which was Don Brown. Yeah, I mean, try and prove me wrong, but it's true. Ryan Day might as well quit. Or Ryan Day should go right to the NFL. He should not coach anymore for Ohio, I'll tell you that. Because we're going to be so in that man's head. We're going to be paying rent free in that dude's melon. Just because, dude, if we beat him this year, it's over for him. His career is done. Done at Ohio. Because he can't figure it out. And Jesse Minter's fantastic at second half adjustments. So now you throw in time of possession. I guess I'm doing the quick hitter episode right now. You do time of possession with a better red zone scoring potentials, right? And you get throw in Jesse Minter with his second half adjustments. That gives Ryan Day exactly one half to beat Michigan, and that's the first half. Good luck. Good luck, Ryan Day. That's not happening. I grow increasingly more confident that Michigan's going to beat Ohio. And true, here's another point. They live in Ohio. Last time I checked, that's still the Midwest. It still gets cold in the Midwest. Now, Ohio is the best team in the Pac-12, bar none, if they decide to leave conferences and go to the Pac-12. Because they're going to play teams all year round or all season long that are in the nice weather, except for Oregon and Washington. But that even then, very few times are you going to play those teams, and it's going to be butt-ass cold. Right? They're the best team in the Pac-12. That's what they decided to do with Ryan Day. They became a Pac-12 team. When you have the balls as a Big Ten team to say, well, maybe we should play in neutral site game, neutral site games for your home game, your home games. Are you nuts? What? You're saying we suck in the weather. This is football. Football was born to be played in the weather. And you're like, nah, we suck in this. So you know what? We want to play in domes. Trust me. I bet you money that they lose to Michigan this year, they're going to build a dome on that toilet bowl they call a stadium. They're going to do it. I don't know how they can't. They have the money. They have the money. They'll do it. I don't know. This is the only other way they're going to stay in the Big Ten and face Michigan every year. And even then, they have to do it every other year. They get a chance to beat us in the dome. Not every year. I mean, what are you telling your fans? Hey, listen, guys, we want you to go to a neutral site, and we want you to pay, you know, travel to that neutral site just so, you know, we have a better chance of winning. How ridiculous. This Ohio team you're right, they are taking on, every school takes on the personality of their coach, and this is the personality of Ryan Day, a fake tough guy who wants to strut his stuff. He wants to look like he's the smartest guy in the room, but yet he's a frightened little child who's like, I will only play you in these conditions. And if I can't, I want to take my ball and go home. But because I'm contractually responsible for playing these stupid games, well, then I guess I'll have to. But trust me, whenever I get to control this, you better believe that we're going to go play under my way of doing it. I mean, God, I hate Ohio. I respect what they've done, but God, I hate them. I don't hate them as bad as Michigan State, and I don't hate anybody more than that. But you know what I mean? Like, I guess I should be talking about Rutgers, but we all saw what happened. JJ, this episode has gone right off the rails. Holy moly. Holy moly. This one has just gone right off the rails. I mean, I said everything I need to really say about the Rutgers game, right? I mean, okay. Oh, sorry. Let's get this train wreck back onto the rail for a little bit. When it comes to the wide receiver thing, I am all open to letting any wide receiver, I don't care if it's Walker, I don't care if it's, I don't even know their names. That's how little I've paid attention to the wide receiver room, and I didn't even bother write down the notes. I know that there are some decent, we have some really big play potential wide receivers that are young. I just, for the life of me, can't remember their names right now. But if those players in practice show that they have a better opportunity of getting separation and being able to catch the ball and get open for JJ, then put them in the game. I don't care if I ever see Roman Wilson play again, A2 play again. I don't care who it is. I want the best players, regardless of their class, if you're a freshman or if you're a senior. I don't care who you are. If you can get open, if you can create separation, then get your butt in the game and play. Because if Cornelius Johnson thinks just because he's a senior, he's earned the right or he deserves the right to play, you're crazy. You earn the right to play every time you get on that field, and every time you run a route, you get open. That earns you the right to stay on the field. No one deserves to be anywhere. No one deserves whatever role they have currently. You don't deserve it. You earn it. I don't want to hear it. Roman Wilson, get out of here if you can't get open. And I love all these players. I'm not trying to say that I don't appreciate these players. I love Andrew Anthony. I love him. But if you can't get open, kid, hit the bench. Hit the bench and let somebody else come in and do it. I do not care. Because we're trying to win national titles. We're not trying to soothe the feelings of people who feel they deserve something. You don't deserve shit in this world. You earn what you get in this world. Some people get it just because their daddies have earned it. You know what I'm saying? But just in general, as a rule of thumb, you earn what you get. You don't deserve. Please, don't even get me on deserve what people think they deserve anymore. That's outrageous. But still, if you're a freshman, get your ass on the field. Make plays. And the coaching staff needs to put these players in that position. We're doing it with the tight ends. I don't know why we can't be doing it more with the wide receivers. Earn your way onto that field. Earn your way to stay on the field. That's how it should go. And maybe we'll see we'll start to see the passing game open up more when JJ doesn't have to try and thread the needle every stinking time he throws the ball because wide receivers don't get open. Or they're running lazy routes. I know, you may go the whole game and not get the ball thrown to you. Tough. That's football. Run your route 100% every time, full blast, like you're going to get the ball. Because that helps, guess what? That helps the offense. And guess what? Sooner or later, he's going to throw you the ball. But if you run lazy routes, you don't get the ball. And then you're going to force this kid to thread the needle every time to where if you don't catch the ball that's going super fast because he's got to thread the needle in between three people, then it becomes a much harder thing for you. Or you can just run your routes 100% of the time with 100% speed and get your ass open. And then maybe it becomes an easier thing because then the chemistry gets better. Oh, I have just done had it with the wide receiver group. I've had it because I think they might be the biggest prima donnas on the whole team. They might be. Hey, put AJ Henney in there. I don't care. Let him find something. Maybe we're ignoring him for some reason. I don't know. Just let's do something. We're going to get JJ killed. We're going to get him killed out there. If he's got to wait 5 seconds to throw the ball. I mean, think about that. Our offensive line is great, but dear Lord, 5 seconds is a little too much to be asking for our wide receivers who are supposed to be pretty freaking fast to get open. If we're struggling to get open against Rutgers, good, but not great defense, right? Michigan State, one of the worst defenses I've ever seen, and our wide receivers are struggling to get open. Right there. I don't even have to go any further. Michigan State's defensive backfield, it was in the 90s. The 90s. And we still had a hard time passing the ball. Still. What the ever-loving F are we doing? So yeah, I'm perfectly fine. Sit them down. Sit them down and let our freshmen get in there if the freshmen can get open. If the freshmen are hungry enough to get out on that field and make a play, sit the wide receivers. You know, I don't care who you think you are. We're trying to win a national title here. We're not trying to soothe you. You want to be soothed? Go home and hang out with your mom. And on that, I'm going to get out of here. But it is, overall, it is still great to be a Michigan Wolverine. It is fantastic. I love it. They give me everything to talk about. It's fantastic. I would think about it. Think how miserable my friends have been or before I started this podcast, and think how much happier they are now. That's solely because of Michigan. I thank them because I created a podcast just so I can do this. It's fantastic. I love it. Thank you for being Michigan Maniacs, first of all. Thank you so much for all the support. I love it. I love when you guys come out and support, you know, hit up the post. We talk about stuff. I love it. I love all the DM messages I get, and we just chop it up that way. I love it all. It is fantastic. So much fun. You give me something to go with every week. It is the best. God, what a great year. What a great year. I'm telling you, I am thrilled about this. I can't wait till next week. I definitely can't wait till we play Illinois so we can smack them. And then I am so excited about this whole Ohio game this year. I'm excited. Now listen, we have to play a great game. We just can't assume we're going to go in there and smack them, right? We got to show up. But there's no pressure this year on us. None. Everybody in the world expects us to lose. Everyone. We go in there, we smack them, and then Ohio with Ryan Day has to come up with a, I can't wait. That's all. So guys, it's great. It's great to be Michigan Wolverine, and always and forever, guys. Go Blue.